Welcome to That's Good Sports. You're listening to a podcast. I'm a host. There's another guy here. He's a host. And we're going to talk about football today on this podcast because I'm supposed to tell you what we're going to talk about. And it's Denver Broncos coaching hires, NFL news with Antonio Brown, Adam Gase, Kyler Murray, and then preview of the championship football games coming up this week. Other guy, how are you doing?
What's up, my co-host, who will remain unnamed?
That's right.
I was thinking we could start the show by doing our best Adam Gase impressions.
Oh, that's for anybody listening, you're just going to have to imagine it. But if you're watching on YouTube, this could be an all right segment.
Those of you that pay for TGS Premium and get the YouTube
get
podcast,
the YouTube stream.
This is just for you.
This is just for
us. We're going to do this right now.
You're
5
first?
Seconds.
Okay.
Oh, no. Cancel. Abort.
I don't even know how you make those Adam Gase eyes.
I don't know how he made those eyes, but I guess we'll talk about it later.
Has anybody referenced the Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns gets the
the
injections and they think he's an alien?
No, I think that's for you to tweet before anybody hears this.
Nobody's memed it yet. Oh, that's my meme.
Yep. You have prima nocta on that tweet. I don't think that's what that means.
No, I think that's isn't that when you sleep?
First rights?
Yeah, isn't that when you sleep with a virgin if you're a king before her husband does?
Yeah. That's like Braveheart where the king sleeps with every new bride before the husband gets to.
Right.
Yeah, which I don't know how that worked with my reference to Twitter and Adam Gase, but we'll keep going.
Don't you think that would have like, I feel like that would have ended marriage. Just be like, whoa, we're just living together. We're not getting married. Yeah. There's going to be prima nocta tonight.
I think that's living in sin technically, and that might even be worse.
Wow. You just can't win back then.
No, it really sucked. If you think about it, like let's just start from the beginning of time to about the year night. You know what? I think the world sucks, actually. I was going to put a year limit on it, but I think everything sucks.
Yeah, people are fucked up when you think about it. Like,
yeah, so I was going to say, like, nothing like that happens anymore, and it absolutely does.
Yeah, like, you forget there's horrible shit happening all the time everywhere.
Yeah, and that's why we're here to talk about football.
Yeah, because usually the worst thing in football is much better than the worst thing you heard, like, from your local news that night.
Yeah. The worst thing in football right now, let me tell you, here's a segue, a beef between Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. Brandon, why don't you set it up?
Welcome to a new segment here on That's Good Sports called Who's Beefing? Sponsored by Traeger Grills.
Love it.
Is what I will say if we ever get a sponsor for this show and if it ever is Traeger Grills who does sponsor sports shows.
Will
didn't know. He didn't know what a Traeger grill was. He didn't get the joke, which really took away my confidence before I read that line.
Not a meat guy.
It's not even really a joke, but just a reference. You're not a meat guy?
No, I mean, I eat it. I just clearly don't cook enough of it.
You don't smoke it?
No, I don't smoke it.
Does your dad grill a lot, or you guys go out to eat more?
No, I cook salmon. I'm a salmon guy, and I guess
you can smoke some good salmon.
It's fair. There's a lot of smoked salmon. You know, I'm going to go out and buy a Traeger grill as soon as they sponsor this show.
Perfect.
I'll actually ask them for a free one.
Yeah, if they sponsor this show, I'll get you a free Traeger grill.
Yeah, better.
So Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders getting into a little bit of a Twitter beef That is okay. So last week, Emmanuel Sanders on NFL Network, he commented on the Antonio Brown stuff. He basically said Antonio Brown was acting like a bitch. Don't quote me on those exact words. That's not exactly what he said on NFL Network, but he was saying he was acting like a fool. Okay.
Does he look like a bitch?
I don't know. I would never say that about another man.
I don't even know what movie that's from.
But Antonio Brown, and I guess Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians said this isn't the Antonio Brown that was drafted in 2010. So then Antonio Brown goes on Twitter and he says, he didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on situation. He have zero clue, exclamation point. Arians now wears Kango hats and Kangle glasses. Laughing emoji. But I'm a diva, exclamation point. Should be a question mark. Done seen it all the way. They say we friends. Stop lying.
I don't like the insinuation that wearing glasses and Kangle hats makes you a diva. If so, then Bruce Arians and Samuel L. Jackson are the two biggest divas in the world, along with maybe Spike Lee. And yeah. I don't like that at all from Antonio Brown. That's really the only thing I take exception from. It's too bad because this looks like apparently the Antonio Brown trade, the hypothetical trade to Denver, wasn't as realistic as maybe it had been reported by reliable sources such as Ian Rappaport of NFL Insider fame.
Ian Rappaport.
Rappaport.
On the list of names with Jimmy Garoppolo and now Rich Scangarello as names that there is actually no correct way to spell.
No. It actually, once you figure out the correct spelling, it changes. It's like the word.
Every time. And the reason it's Kangol with an L, right? Is there an L in there?
Yeah, it's Kangol.
Yeah, so Antonio Brown had a typo in his tweet, spelled it K-A-N-G-O-O. And that really tripped me up there, I'll tell you.
So, well, to be fair, O is right above L on a keyboard. So.
That makes sense. So Emmanuel Sanders responded with 4 laughing face emojis. And said, you know damn I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping, yo. I went to be an analyst, in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself.
If anybody doesn't remember, they actually were drafted in the same draft in 2010. I think Sanders was drafted higher than Antonio Brown. That was a great draft. That was Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, and Emmanuel Sanders all in one draft by the Steelers, which
Steelers
is
were like, we
pretty
need
incredible.
Wide receivers back.
Yeah, but we're only going to re-sign one of them. Yeah.
Hines Ward's 80 years old, and we need some young weapons. Steelers have a good history of drafting receivers in because they appear ready to lose Antonio Brown because Juju Smith-Schuster has been so good. So whatever they're doing with that, maybe hopefully Mike Munchak drafts all the receivers. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like Hines Ward might still be on the Steelers. Like he could just be like the sixth guy. Like he only plays special teams and we just don't notice him.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Although I think he retired. Did he retire before that Batman movie came out?
Oh, the where Dark Knight Rises. Blew up the stadium.
Yeah, because that was the most unrealistic part of the movie, not the stadium blowing up. The fact that Hines Ward was the kickoff returner, and not only did he return the ball, he returned it for a touchdown.
While the field was crumbling behind him, right?
Yeah, you couldn't hire Mike Wallace to do that or Antonio Brown. You had to get 40-year-old Hines Ward, who's probably never returned a kick in his life.
Yeah, well, we'd have to do some research to fact check the timelines there.
Yeah, I like that one bit. Anyway. This looks like if there was any hope that Antonio Brown was coming to Denver, it doesn't look too good anymore. Maybe for the better. Who knows? Because if they did eventually coexist once again, maybe this would have happened later in a locker room type environment, which Antonio Brown is not known to coexist well with his teammates in such a place. So, you know, maybe it's for the best.
Possibly. Let's see. Antonio Brown is due to make
$20 million.
Yeah, like 20. Is the cap hit for him in 2019 is $22 million. Yeah, so this is his. Yeah, this is a big year on his contract. Probably why the Steelers would be okay getting rid of him. But it's just
and why he's not going to get a first round pick in return.
Yeah, the funny thing about this is when Ian Rappaport reported that the Broncos might be interested in Antonio Brown, I just really liked watching Broncos fans' response on Twitter. There's always just like the people like, nope, nope, don't want that
not a chance.
In my locker room. Nope, not at all, never. It's just like
we have no room for a 1,600-yard receiver on this team. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you wouldn't gladly take those 15 touchdowns to go along with his weird, like, outside of the fact that he may or may not have thrown shit off his balcony and almost hit a child, like.
Okay, all right, hand up. Who hasn't done that?
Who has not done that?
Yeah.
Like, I only throw shit out my balcony if there are children outside.
It's called giving a gift, people.
It's called getting them off your yard, you know?
It's called donating to those who are less fortunate than us.
Like, I don't
aggressive
know.
Aggressive donation.
His drama to me seems manageable. All the way, like, his biggest fuck-up was just walking out on his team the final week of the season and then assuming he was going to get to play on Sunday. And
yeah.
Which is that's like one of the worst things you can do as a teammate, right? But there are questions there with Ben Roethlisberger. There are questions with Mike Tomlin as a head coach. Le'Veon Bell is obviously like shit's dysfunctional there. I'm not sure all of that follows Antonio Brown where he goes. I'm not saying the Broncos are the team that should take a chance on him. Sounds like he wants to play for San Francisco anyway. But until, he does something that's unforgivable, then, I'm always interested. Because, look, if the Broncos took Antonio Brown and they weren't good and he was dramatic, at least we would have shit to talk about. You know what I mean?
At the very least, yeah.
But
At the very least.
What do I know?
Yeah, I don't feel like he would have become a problem until at least year three, too.
Yeah, which at that time, I think that's probably an out year on his contract, and you just move on.
Yeah, it's the Terrell Owens experience. Lesser than.
Yeah,
in terms of drama.
I don't think he's as bad as Owens, and I think some team, whoever gets him, their team's going to be better. And I would bet, at least for 1 year, that he is really good on the field and probably a really good teammate.
Yes.
Maybe still chirping on social media, but I bet that he wants to prove everybody wrong. And then year two, maybe he goes crazy again because he already proved everybody wrong. That's my prediction.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Another segue. Speaking of the 49ers, the Broncos hired their offensive – no, wait. Fuck, I fucked it up. Their quarterback coach, Rich Scangarello. Did I say that right?
Yeah. And isn't it expected to hire? Or have they – it's still not –
I think it's official now. I think it's official.
Did it happen? Maybe.
Let's just say expected. Let's cover our bases and say expected.
Yeah, we would not want to actually check to see if they hired him.
No. Expected to become the offensive coordinator. He was the 49ers quarterback coach last year and did a really good job with three quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, CJ Beathard. And then I think he probably got this job specifically for the work that he did with Nick Mullins. And this seems like a forward-thinking move by the Broncos. He's the first assistant slash any type of coach they've hired in a while that's not at least 50 years of age. He's, I think, like 42 years old. So we've got a real youth movement going on the offensive side of the ball. But a little bit of history on him. He was the coach at he was an assistant coach at UC Davis on and off from 1998 to 2008. UC Davis is, of course, where punter Colby Wadman played. And he graduated. He was born in L.A., graduated from Sacramento State, which is where Todd Davis played.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then moved around here and there and finally got the job with Kyle Shanahan. And it's weird how the Broncos get rid of Gary Kubiak, or not really get rid of him, but Gary Kubiak moves on, and they still somehow get a guy who's from that tree who coached under Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
So it all kind of twists back together.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if any of these guys are going to be good or bad.
Not a clue.
I tried to like research Rich Scangarello. Scangarello. He says it's Scangarello.
I'll trust him.
But it like is really boring.
It's like his Wikipedia page is like two lines.
Yeah, like trying to research coordinate, like I don't know, man. I think you have to believe that if you were coaching with Kyle Shanahan, he's got something there that Broncos fans should be excited about, because Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would employ idiots or people who couldn't contribute to the complicated system he wants to run. Kyle Shanahan also not fond on letting his coaches interview with other teams.
Yeah, it felt like they were blocking him for about a week.
They blocked him. I'm guessing maybe John Elway called John Lynch and was like, hey, remember when we gave you one of our personnel people? You kind of fucking owe us back for that. that's a guess. But also, Matt LaFleur's brother is on the 49ers roster, and he wanted to interview in Green Bay to join his brother.
I'm surprised he's not a head coach somewhere already.
Yeah, Shanahan said, no, you're not interviewing to play with your brother. So maybe we're lucky to get him, or maybe Shanahan wanted to think that the Broncos wanted – or Shanahan wanted the Broncos to think that he wanted to keep Scangarello when he really wanted to get rid of him the whole time.
Ah.
I don't know. Could be a chess move.
Very duplicitous. Again, to go back to your earlier point, I have no idea if it's going to work out either way. But another addition to the Mile High Mafia that's being assembled in the coaching staff.
Do you think Kubiak leaving was a good thing? Because the funny thing is, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm guilty of this too, but we expected Vic Fangio to bring in Kubiak as like this weird offensive coordinator role that everybody said was going to happen. And when Kubiak decided to move on, I think we were all a little bit relieved that the Broncos offense was going to get some sort of change, because it clearly wasn't working, you know, in his second year. But then with him coming back, we are all like, oh, cool, Kubiak will get his offense going again and everything will be good. And then he decides to leave and we go right back to saying, well, his offense wasn't that good. It's just like we just want to praise whoever's going to stay with the Broncos and believe anybody who's gone is for the better. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, I'm definitely a culprit in that. If they were going to keep Gary Kubiak, I would talk myself into it being a good move.
Right.
And then after he leaves, I've decided that it's definitely for the best. And while I appreciate his experience as an offensive coordinator, that ship has sailed and we're into a new modern age of football offense. And that's where I am right now. unless he ever comes back. In which case, it'll be the glory days again.
Yeah, that'll be the best thing we could do. On it, yeah. Like, I was okay with it. And then when I heard he wanted to bring Rick Dennison back, I was like,
oh, yeah, no, that was bad. That was bad.
And, like, I don't want to shit on Rick Dennison because in the 90s, he did a lot of great work here with the Broncos. He's
yeah, and he also took the 2017 Bills offense to the playoffs.
Yeah, for what their offense was, he did get him there. But it was just like, I just did not want them to go in that direction. And now knowing that they hired Mike Munchak and Rick Dennison is going to Minnesota to be their offensive line coach, like if Kubiak was bringing him here, like that might have hurt the Broncos' chances of actually getting Mike Munchak. And I think Munchak's a big upgrade right now over Dennison. Even if, like, say they're the same as far as a coach goes, we're going to have to assume that Mike Munchak is better at evaluating offensive line talent. And that's been, like, the huge,
right,
I think, issue for the Broncos.
Well, yeah, and you've got – if you just look at last year with the Steelers' offensive line, not only the obvious, which is three of their – basically – the entire left side of their offensive line plus the center. So you had Alejandro Villanueva makes the Pro Bowl. He's the left tackle. The left guard, David Acacio, makes the Pro Bowl. And then the center, is it Marquise or Mike Pouncey? One of them. I'm going to say Marquise Pouncey. Hopefully I'm right.
I think Mike's in L.A. or some shit.
Yeah. He makes the Pro Bowl too. So, obviously, you've got the accolades there that are a credit to Mike Munchak's name. And he made it work without Le'Veon Bell. It didn't feel like they were skipping a beat with James Conner back there. And even when James Conner went out, they were able to run the ball reasonably well. And that's a testament to the offensive line.
Yeah. again, it's – I think – until you get the right personnel in there, it's always kind of a crapshoot. But I'm going to err on the side of Munchak being able to help the Broncos, one, draft players who are actually going to be good offensive linemen and better assess correct free agent offensive linemen to bring in.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, and take a guy like Garrett Bowles, who's been an up-and-down player, and hopefully make him more consistent. Because as long as Garrett Bowles is consistent, and I say that meaning consistently, you know, good and not consistently holding or just consistently bad, then I think it's worth it. Like, if you can get Garrett Bowles to hold 50% less, then they're immediately a much better offense.
Yeah, and maybe they're able to draft a left tackle and move Bowles over to left guard.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, no, whatever. Everybody works. Talks about how athletic and strong Garrett Bowles is, right? And usually
play him at tight end.
Yeah, a tight end. Usually, you want your athletic players like at tackle, but maybe he just needs to be like a mauler, like a guard is. You know what I mean? Where it's less thinking, and you just have one guy. You know, you're basically. Well, I guess you can pull his guards. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know.
You definitely can pull his guards.
I'm not going to pretend like I know what the fuck I'm talking about with the offensive line.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay, last question, though. With all the Italian-American coaches on the coaching staff, are the Italian players going to get, favoritism?
Yeah, well, I think Troy Fumagalli just became
exactly what I was going to say.
Player for all the coaches.
Yep, they're going to treat him like he has all 10 fingers and play him immediately.
I think it'll be interesting if the Broncos have any healthy tight ends next season. That could be a big game changer for that offense.
Yeah, no, as long as Jake Butt's ACL doesn't melt into lasagna by, week three again.
Did he tear the other ACL or was it the same knee?
No, it was the other one. Okay, but I think he's torn it before because that was the third time. He tore it in high school, and then I believe he tore it in that bowl game before he declared or after he declared. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll use, like, a cadaver like Achilles for his. I think that's what I have in my knee. Is it an Achilles that they put it? I don't know. They take something.
I don't know. It makes no sense to me. John Elway played without one of his ACLs, and he did fine.
Yeah, he played his entire career without an ACL. That's why he was the best quarterback to ever do it.
Yeah, no, they seem like they're useless.
Yeah.
And they just have them removed. Like when Ronnie Lott cut off his pinky, and that, just get rid of it. It's just slowing you down.
Sure, Elway can barely walk now, but.
That's okay. Yeah, that's not important.
Not important.
It is weird to me that Elway and Montana were both bow-legged. And the best quarterbacks, the two best quarterbacks of the 80s.
Hmm. Oh, who's the most bow-legged quarterback in this year's draft? That's what we got to find out.
It might be Kyler Murray.
People talk about hand size. They talk about height. They talk about arm strength. We got to find the bow-legged dude.
I want the curvature of your legs.
Yeah, give me just – not a big curve. It's a slight curve.
No. Yeah, I want – everybody's bringing out their rulers to measure, the hand size.
I want the straight line from your thigh to your ankle. Mm-hmm. And what is the length from that line to your inside of your knee?
If I'm a scout for an NFL team and I'm in the market for a quarterback, I'm packing a protractor and nothing else combine. Nothing else.
This guy looks like he's been riding a horse for 7 days. That's my quarterback. Yeah.
Oh, man. He's going to drop back so quickly. I have no idea how that helps you.
We figured it out.
Yep. No. I guess this is a good opportunity to segue into the NFL portion of the show and talk about Kyler Murray, who has officially declared for the NFL draft. Despite speculation that despite winning the Heisman this year and playing in the college football playoff, he was going to go play baseball with the Oakland A's after being drafted in the first round of the MLB draft. So my question for you, Brandon, personally, I don't know. I know you're not a huge college guy, but if you were in Kyler Murray's shoes, would you rather play football or take the baseball path? Obviously, with football, you've got the injury concerns that baseball's most likely not going to give you, but you're going to make money quicker, and you have a better chance of being a megastar as a quarterback in the NFL as opposed to toiling in the minors for a season or two. And then being on, the Oakland A's, which, let's be real, they're not the marquee franchise in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah. I mean, also, didn't he ask the A's for like $14 million? Like, they were going to pay him $5 million. And I think for him to play for them, he wanted like $14 million guaranteed.
Yeah. The Oakland A's are not known for dishing out a lot of money to players.
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there was a movie about it, right?
Yes. And then a book.
Yeah. A book that Jonah
that was Hill the order.
So, what it's okay.
It's a prequel to mid 90s.
Yeah. Which I watched. I loved it. Oh, I loved it.
Did you?
I loved mid 90s. But that's, I mean, I was, 90, I was, a 90s kid. I was a skateboarding kid in the 90s. So, and like, I was into it. So,
it's the unauthorized Brendan Perna biography.
So if I could talk to Kyler Murray, I would say pick up skateboarding. You're obviously the right size to be a great skateboarder, athletic enough to do it. The thing, it's hard because everything I know now about head injuries, I would tell him to go fucking play baseball. I would say, just do it. Just don't even risk scrambling your fucking brains. All the money in the world's probably not worth it. But as somebody who, one, wants to see a truly short quarterback succeed in the NFL, I want to see him. I want to see him play football, and I will be his biggest fan. Like they say, he's actually like 5'9", and he's listed
officially as 5'10", 195, and I do not believe that for a second.
So he's basically, I mean, I think my dad's like 5'11", and well, no, he's lost some weight though, so he's now like, I don't know, 170, but he was like 185, 190. So he's probably like my dad's size, I feel like, if not just shorter. But I tried to watch like some of his highlights and shit today. And he looks like he's pretty good.
It's true.
He's got the arm strength. I saw his efficiency rating was tied with Tua Tagovailoa.
First time. Yeah.
Okay. They both had like the highest efficiency rating in college football, which was like the same as like Baker Mayfield's the last 2 years. So my question that I put on Twitter today is like, somebody just needs to take a picture of him standing next to Baker Mayfield. And if they look similar in size, then he'll fucking ball out in the NFL.
Well, I think the more concerning part is because like this is kind of what people said that dropped Russell Wilson into the third round, and the main thing like you ask like why is it bad to be like you understand why it's probably not great to keep drafting 6'8" quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's because they're just super immobile and their release takes forever, but. The only like complaint about short quarterbacks really is that they can't see over the offensive line. And my question is like it's not like he played at like some small school where all the offensive linemen are really small. It's not like he played at Air Force or something where they run like a zone scheme. They just have these super athletic offensive linemen that aren't very big. He played at Oklahoma, and the average size of an Oklahoma offensive lineman is probably not much shorter than the average, offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if he didn't have any problems seeing over those guys, I don't think it's going to suddenly become a problem when he enters the league.
Yeah.
I think the real concern is his durability as it relates to his size, more right. specifically like his weight and his ability to put on weight. So it doesn't look like he has a very big frame.
Yeah. What I would look at, one is his injury history in college, which I don't know.
It's only 1 year because he only played for 1 year.
No, he only played one season.
Yeah, because he was behind Baker.
That's okay. I heard Russell Wilson talk. I think he was talking about him and you know being a shorter quarterback. Wilson basically said, you know. All the offensive linemen are like 6'7", so really nobody can fucking see over him. He said, yeah. But you know, it for him, it's about seeing through lanes and the depth you get on your drops. Like when you're standing a few yards behind the guy, you can see, you know, the field fairly well. And he said it's more about having, you know, a better understanding of the game, where your guys are gonna be, and you know. Seeing where they are has never been like a problem for him. The same thing, you know, with like Drew Brees in that department. We saw a guy like Doug Flutie play in the NFL at a you know fairly decent level. So like the height doesn't worry me at all. The build really doesn't worry me that much either, because like one, the NFL made a huge shift in making quarterbacks even more protected this year. Like that whole body weight rule should take away a lot of fear from that guy ever getting hurt, because his biggest chance, I think, of getting injured, besides like a 300-pound, the guys that usually get you that hard are like 250 driving you into the ground. That would be your biggest concern. The other concern would be like tearing his fucking ACL on a run, and that can happen to anybody. And if you look at the quarterbacks who've been hurt over the years, this size, I feel like, is irrelevant. I mean, Andrew Luck injured his shoulder snowboarding, we learned. And he's 6'4", whatever. You know what I mean? Like, The guys who get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, has Russell Wilson ever missed a start?
No, like, he's never missed a start. Drew Brees, when's the last time he missed a game? You know, I don't know. So I wouldn't be worried about those things. It's like, I feel like if the guy plays college football really well and he does the things you want to see at an NFL level, then you can probably make it work.
So the question, I think everybody is kind of started to catch on that, you know, we need to stop using height as a barrier to drafting these quarterbacks in the first round. The question is, like, how high do you draft them? Do you give any credence to the people saying that Cliff Kingsbury would trade Josh Rosen and take Kyler Murray with that first pick?
I mean, that would be funny if he did, but I think he officially said he would not do that he's excited about Rosen. But do I give that? Like, if the Broncos took him at 10, I would be cool with it.
It would be interesting. We would have the shortest backfield, I think, ever.
Got little Lindsey, little Murray, throw Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders out there, and we got the dream team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the under 6 foot all stars.
Yeah, I want an entire offense under 6 feet, except for the linemen and tight end.
Well, and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I think like all you need to do is, like, I mean, I think C.J. Anderson's a good example of people like saying he's too fat, and then he just goes out there and fucking has like three of the best games of his career in a row. So like,
yeah, I'm excited for a new wave of fat running backs.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I think someone's going to bring like Ron Dane back into the league,
or
draft his son or something.
I don't know. Like, can the guy play? Put him out there. I don't care if he's 5'10" or 6'4", just if he can throw the fucking football to a receiver and make some plays with his legs, I'm excited at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It does help. I think you'd have to wonder whether he would have declared in a year where it was a stronger quarterback class. And maybe it was last year. He probably doesn't get drafted in the first round, especially before Baker Mayfield had success as a guy. He's not short, but he's 6'1". And usually you don't see those guys get taken with the first pick, and that kind of changed everything.
Yeah.
So now when you get, like, you know, you get that guaranteed money of being a first-round pick, that changes the thought process for him.
Yeah, so, I'm sure.
It's understandable.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like,
yeah,
I got to look at more quarterbacks, but, you know.
Oh,
again,
we have to crunch some serious tape.
I'm gonna be rooting for the shortest man in the draft, just like I do every year.
So should we talk about some real football games that are gonna happen?
Yes, please. Let's do it.
What, 72 hours from now, from when my dog's making a guest appearance on the show?
Oh,
hey,
God,
he'd be the shortest quarterback in this draft. All right, let's start with the Rams and the Saints, because that's the first game on Sunday morning. Afternoon?
Yeah.
Morning.
Early afternoon.
Yes. My dog sneezed. So going back to week 9, the Saints won this game 45-35. They were up 35-14 in the first quarter, and then they let the Rams back into this game. And then the Michael Thomas touchdown happened, where he scored a long touchdown, pulled out the cell phone like Joe Horn. This is a pretty exciting game. I'm excited to get part two of it. I think the big reason we want this rematch is for the Sean Payton, Marcus Peters feud that's going on. I'm really looking forward to that.
I didn't know about that. What is it?
Okay, yeah. Well, it's in the video for the AFC and NFC championships. But after the game, they asked Sean Payton about the matchup, because Talib wasn't playing in that game.
Oh, right.
So they had the Rams had Marcus Peters traveling to cover Michael Thomas. And Michael Thomas had 211 yards plus that one touchdown in that game. So someone asked Sean Payton about that. And he said, yeah, we saw that they were traveling Peters to Michael Thomas, so he kept throwing the ball. He's like, we like that matchup a lot. And then some narc for like the LA Times went over to Peters' locker and was like, yeah, well, did you hear Sean Payton said this about you? And then he's like, yeah, Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We'll have a nice bowl of gumbo together. So they're getting that. And then, you know, Marcus Peters this week tweeted like it's gumbo week, something like that. Nice. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see this. Marcus Peters is a bit of a loose cannon, yeah, as we saw last week with him yelling or doing something at a fan.
Yeah.
But
last week he got into it with Amari Cooper.
Right.
A couple weeks before that, he called a fan a square amongst a bunch of other words that I can't say. But
okay,
he went up to the stands telling that guy he would fight him. The one thing I've learned about Marcus Peters, and he's not as good of a corner as I thought he was.
No, he was. He's never really been a good corner. He just gets a lot of interceptions because he takes a lot of chances.
Yeah.
It's also gotten a lot of really lucky interceptions.
Because wasn't the first Cowboys touchdown was I feel like Marcus Peters was supposed to be covering Amari Cooper, but Amari Cooper was wide open.
Yeah, and that was the easiest touchdown of all time.
Yeah. The good news is the Rams will just put Aqib Talib on Michael Thomas.
Yes.
So
yeah, that kind of solves Peters that problem.
Can talk that shit because after Michael Thomas – there's not like a ton of they're gonna put him on Ted Ginn.
Yeah, easier to talk that shit when you're covering Traquan Smith.
Yeah,
like Austin Carr.
Which I wouldn't put him on. I would put Peters on Ted Ginn because even if Peters doesn't cover him, there's a good chance Ted Ginn will drop the wide open pass.
Yes.
So
I was thinking about this. Ted Ginn is considered a bust because he got drafted in the first round by the Dolphins in like 2007.
God, he's still in the NFL.
Yeah. And he's still in the NFL.
So fast.
Just, yeah. That's what if I could just redo things, I just run a lot of sprints and become a really fast wide receiver and play 15 years in the NFL.
Yeah, this game, oh man. This game's going to be fun. So let's just like I think the coverage could be a little bit of an issue for the Rams. And I also think what I've noticed with Jared Goff is out of all the quarterbacks remain, he is maybe at times the least accurate. Like he's I feel like he's a streaky quarterback where there were a couple games this season. I was like, that dude is not, he's not a good QB.
That
Chiefs game, he was fucking on that night, and he was putting the ball where it needed to go. But there's throws in that game. There's some throws I saw in the 49ers game where he just fucking missed wide open receivers. So I think that against the Saints could be an issue if he's got to go like score for score with Drew Brees or something.
Yeah, and there's nothing on the Rams defense really that makes you think that that's not going to happen again. Because as good as Aaron Donald is, and obviously my dog keeps interjecting. So, hey, you need to be quiet, okay? You need to be quiet. You know, play time's over. As good as Aqib Talib is coming back, he's growling at me.
He does not like when you talk about Talib.
No, he's fuck, what was I saying? Aqib Talib, yeah, they still let up 45 points in the first game, and that's a lot. And I think Jared Goff, out of the four quarterbacks that are left, has the biggest chance to, have like a really bad game, which it happens in the championship games a lot.
It feels like
there's always a quarterback that has like a big like 3 to 5 turnover game.
It's just like quarterback play in the playoffs drops significantly.
Yeah. I mean,
even this playoff run so far, like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, I think, were the two QBs who passed for like over 300 yards last week. But like every win seems to be kind of like these grinded out type games where the quarterbacks are passing for like 280 yards and maybe one touchdown. But yeah, I think Goff maybe has the best chance of fucking his team over.
Yeah.
The Saints, all I really want to see if they can figure out a different way to get Taysom Hill the ball this week. Because they tried, they had him like in three or four crazy plays. And like you wrote in the episode, he threw a touchdown pass that was called back. And Drew Brees
should have caught a touchdown pass. Yeah.
Drew Brees
went back to back plays.
Drew Brees went like Joe Flacco and just
threw
another pass to a quarterback and didn't do a great job with it. I don't know, man. Like, would you? I feel like Taysom Hill should be starting somewhere else.
I don't know, man. Like, he's a bulldozer. Like, if you saw him take on like those guys, like Eagles linebackers, he was just shoulder charging them. No, he's weird. It's like a Steve Young sort of dynamic where I don't know how he'd be as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, because he feels like Tebow, but it looks like he can throw.
But he's got like decent mechanics.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting. Throw to Kamara. I think Sean Payton's going to use him as a personal protector this week against Marcus Peters on the sideline. Just like kind of like as a bodyguard. I don't know. Like I still think that like he's. I'm sure the numbers bear out that like he's pretty efficient when you give him the ball. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of taking the ball out of Drew Brees' hands in this big game.
Right.
In this big of a game, because like what happens if like you let Hill pass and he throws an interception, or he fumbles the ball, or you throw to him and he drops a pass and then, you know, someone grabs it and picks it off. Like, there's just a lot of weird things that can happen with a guy who's kind of positionless that you just rather trust the guys who get paid to do one thing to do that in a game like this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe, you know, Sean Payton could just be using him as a decoy at this point to say, like, well, you've got to spend this much time to prepare for him in the event that we do use him. But I don't know. I like giving the ball to Drew Brees right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obviously the smart thing to do.
Yes.
I guess, like, for me, I think it – I don't know if the Saints will be able to stop the Rams' run game.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we were talking about Jared Goff, like, if they can do something like they did against the Cowboys, where he's – kind of just like he's not irrelevant, but like he just needs to make like 3 to 5 decent throws in the game and you're fine.
And he does. Like he makes plenty of throws every game.
He does.
He just kind of he baffles me a little bit. Like
We're not talking about him like he's really bad.
Good. And other times like he's just not that good.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about him like he's a bad quarterback that's like holding the team back. It's just like he has the potential to throw 3 interceptions on the road.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel that way about Brady, Brees, or Mahomes.
Yeah.
Currently.
And if you say that about Mahomes, it's true because we know how you feel.
Yeah, well, it's not on the road, so. Although it's going to be very cold.
Very cold there, but.
So we've heard.
Yeah, I did not expect the Cowboys to give up over 200 yards rushing. I love the combination, too, of C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley because – they have completely different running styles. You know what I mean? And Gurley's also such a threat catching passes out of the backfield. And the Eagles run, like if there was a weakness on the Eagles offense this season, it's the consistency, you know, from their running back production there. So I'm not sure the Saints will be able to slow that down. And if the Rams can do that again, like, I don't know how the Saints can beat them other than just throw touchdowns every.
Having CJ there to run up the middle, then Gurley stretching it out feels like basically the perfect 1-2 punch at this point. It's just a matter of Because if they get down big like they did in the first game, that's not going to be an option for them. And they're going to have to throw their way back in with Goff, which then you could see the potential for disaster.
Right. Because the Saints defense has also been pretty good for the entire season. So it's just a good matchup. It's basically all you could ask for in a NFC championship game, because are you second or third best right up there with them? So I don't know. I guess I'm going to pick the Saints because they're at home and because of Drew Brees, but I don't care who wins that game because I'll be happy to watch either one of them in the Super Bowl.
I am going to take the Rams.
Ooh, doggy.
I think Michael Thomas aside, Drew Brees has kind of slowed down a little bit. For like the last 6 weeks, let's say, that he's actually played. And I think Tlaib being back is a huge deal, and that makes it a lot easier on the defense. And they've got fast linebackers too. Like I trust a guy with, like Corey Littleton to make sure that Alvin Kamara doesn't have an insane game against them. I think it's a toss-up though, and I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right, you got the Rams. I got the Saints.
Patriots, Chiefs. So Patriots, Chiefs. They played in Week 6. That was the Sunday night game. The Patriots won 43-40, and I expect this to be a lot lower scoring. When you throw in the cold, too, I think that plays obviously a big factor. But, Brandon, you've been talking about all week how there's no other choice but to root for the Chiefs in this game. And I just want to hear your opening argument for that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Will. Here is the goddamn thing. I cannot sympathize with any football fan who wants to see the Patriots go to their 9th Super Bowl since the year 2000. Or who wants to see them in another Super Bowl, specifically this year when they've been in 3 of the last 4 fucking Super Bowls. Even if you don't hate the Patriots, you have to be sick of watching the goddamn Super Bowl with the Patriots in it. Like, I just want to see a different style of game, because when you play the Patriots, you're forced to play the way they do it. And the reason the Eagles were able to beat them is because Nick Foles had the game of his life, game of his career, and was able to outgun, you know, the Patriots offense, which just eviscerated Los Angeles last week.
You're using those big Stephen A. Smith words.
And I don't want fucking Tom Brady to get more credit for doing the easiest quarterbacking job on earth right now, which is throw to the Chargers game. I saw somebody tweet out this thing. It was like, they said he was done. They said he couldn't throw anymore. And it was literally the one good pass Tom Brady made in the game, which was a good pass to Julian Edelman. Equally a great catch. But all he does is understand which receiver's going to be open.
Usually James White.
James White or Julian Edelman, and they're wide fucking open every play. And I don't want to see that matchup. And I know I Broncos fans hate the Chiefs. I get that. I'm not saying you have to stop hating the Chiefs. I'm not saying that at all. Doesn't mean you love the Chiefs. And this argument I've been getting on Twitter, too, it's like, you're not a Broncos fan if you're rooting for the Chiefs. That's a division rival, bro. That's a division rival. What does that mean? It means they play the Chiefs twice a year. Who gives a fuck? They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. I don't care if they get there. And the other argument is, I'm going to root for the team to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. If the Patriots get to the Super Bowl – they've got a much better chance of winning that game than they do losing it. I don't give a fuck who they play. Especially this season, especially if Tom Brady's bitching right now, saying everybody thinks they suck. He is as emotionally whiny as ever, and that makes him dangerous.
Yeah, we've got Tom Brady telling Tracy Wolfson that everybody thinks we suck in a game where they're favored by four. And yeah, we've got Julian Edelman selling shirts that say bet against us.
Bet against us. And here's the other thing. Andy Reid. How do you root? Who? Like, the only thing Andy Reid has ever done besides being a pretty damn good coach in the NFL is tolerate people making fun of his weight. He's been a good sport in letting people make fun of him. How many people, come on. He's been nice. He's a nice guy. He deserves another chance at a Super Bowl. Regardless of what the stupid team is he coaches.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll give you my argument. I think we can toss out the Super Bowl as either way, of course. You and I and anybody that roots for the same team that we do will be rooting for the NFC regardless of whether it's the Saints or the Rams. Yes, that's a foregone conclusion. My point is, and this is my one main point that I think is strong enough. What's the difference between going to 8 Super Bowls and 9 Super Bowls? What's the difference to Patriots fans? Are they going to get more obnoxious? I don't think it's possible. I don't think they physically can. I don't think it's already switched up to 10. It can't go to 11. And maybe I get proven wrong, but I don't know. You give those Chiefs fans one Super Bowl, and they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. They're already horribly obnoxious. It'll get 10 times worse. And so I would rather face the enemy that I know in Patriots fans than the enemy that I do not know, which is Chiefs fans. I think they'll be much worse. I don't want to give them an inch. Patriots fans, there's always the chance for the Patriots to lose in the Super Bowl, and that is always the three times that it's happened in my lifetime, actually four, because I was born right before the Packers-Patriots Super Bowl. The four times, the three that I remember, it has been three of the sweetest moments of my adult life. And another thing, the Chiefs will see it as a victory if they even get to the Super Bowl. That's how lowly they are. I don't want them to have any sort of satisfaction. It's a victory to them that they're playing in the AFC Championship, that they're playing for the Lamar Hunt Trophy, which is, by the way, an AFC Championship game has never taken place in Arrowhead, despite how much of a prestigious organization they are. This is the first time. The trophy that's named after their owner, the guy that coined the term Super Bowl. The Super Bowl hasn't done, the word Super Bowl and Chiefs have not been used in the same sentence since 1970.
Okay. First of all, I look forward to the challenge of sparring with Chiefs fans who actually have some ammo to debate with. Second of all, every group of fans suck. They all have that loud group of assholes on Twitter. But most of the fan base is actually pretty cool. Like, one thing I've learned from both Patriots fans and Chiefs fans who watch my channel is you shit on them enough, and in a creative enough way, they will respect it. And so in that way, I have to give them both credit.
Look, there are a lot of – you're right. There are a lot of Chiefs fans that watch your videos, and actually a lot of Chiefs fans, judging by the comments and Twitter, that listen to this show. And I don't think – Chiefs fans, if you would like, please sound off on Twitter or in the comments. But I don't think they would appreciate it if we were rooting for them, because I know they would not be doing the same thing if the roles were reversed, which they have been twice.
Okay, that's fair. I'll put a poll out at some point on YouTube and be like,
"Yeah, I don't think they want to root for
the Chiefs. If the situation were reversed and the Broncos were playing the Patriots again, would you root for the Broncos?" That's a good point. Here's the thing: Patriots fans can get worse. If they lose the Super Bowl, fine. But guess what happens then, Will? They've lost 5 Super Bowls. What club does that put them in?
Ours.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos have the fucking record for most Super Bowl losses. One I personally don't want to share with the Patriots. Do not want to share that with the
gladly. Patriots. I'll take it.
If Belichick and Brady get a 6th ring, it's like you can't win. You're not ever going to get to have a fun debate about GOAT status of anything ever again. I will let the Chiefs go to that Super Bowl. I will happily let the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl over the Patriots. Also, I lived in Wichita, Kansas for 6 years around Chiefs fans. Nobody fucking hated the Chiefs more than I did. If the Broncos lost on Sunday, I didn't want to go to school on Monday to deal with fucking Chiefs fans, especially when they lost to the Chiefs. And if the Chiefs had won that day, I hated the Chiefs more than any team in the NFL from 1997 to until I moved to San Diego and realized that the Chargers fans were really annoying to be around during Broncos games.
Yeah.
But I also have a lot of friends who are still Chiefs fans. And they're good.
Oh, I don't like that. No, I don't. They're I don't like people. Where this is. I don't like where this is going.
If I can I see like them, where this is going. If I no, can see their no, joy of no, beating the no, Patriots, no, nope. I'm gonna support it. I'm gonna.
No. What's the opposite of an ad hominem argument? Is it pro hominem? You just used it, and I don't like that. No.
Also, honestly, I think the best Super Bowl game would be a Rams-Chiefs rematch.
I don't disagree with that.
In terms of a game, like just take out the teams, but
yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Like after that game, like half the comments were like, "Oh my god, I wish this was the Super Bowl. I wish this game was the Super Bowl. That was the greatest football game I have ever seen in my life. Done."
Interesting.
Honestly, a better game was probably the Patriots coming back against the Falcons. Like, that's the craziest shit I've ever seen in a Super Bowl, and I hated every second of it. It was the worst, one of the worst games of my life. But that was like, I don't know. So, the real answer to the question is, I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, you'd like to think that.
Now there's a lot of passionate people telling me to fuck off for saying I'm going to root for the Chiefs.
I think I might be one of them. Look, like your argument before, it feels like there's a lot of like actors that are Chiefs fans too. You're like Paul Rudd, David Koechner.
Koechner is too, huh?
Jason Sudeikis, I think, is a Chiefs
fan.
Eric Stone Street. Look, I like all of them, but fuck them this week. I don't care. I hope
those are funny guys.
Yeah, I agree. I don't give a fuck. I hope they cry. And
here's the other thing, Will. Most Chiefs fans live in Kansas and Missouri. That's like a punishment they have to deal with every day of their life.
Yeah,
I have lived there. I know.
I don't like that as an argument. I don't like that.
Boston, from everything I hear, is a pretty cool city. So,
look, I don't think we're going to see eye to eye on this one.
You want to see Bill Simmons with more fucking fuel to talk shit?
I don't think they care. I don't think they care that much.
Oh, they care. They fucking care.
I don't think they honestly do care as much as Chiefs fans care. I can tell you right now, they would not derive half the amount of joy from their 6th Super Bowl or 8th, whatever, 9th Super Bowl appearance with Brady. Than the Chiefs fans would with one. And I don't like to see Chiefs fans happy.
If the
I don't like to see either of them happy, but I don't like to see the Chiefs fans happy.
They're going to lose. If the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, they're probably not going to lose. I think.
I actually disagree. I think the Chiefs, if they get there, are a better matchup than the Patriots would be for either two. I actually think the Chiefs would have a better chance of winning than the Patriots. I don't care. Like ever, the Patriots beat up on the Chargers. They beat up on the Chargers at home. I don't think this suddenly makes them better than the 11-5 team that they were in the regular season. I don't think this changes things that much that they're suddenly the favorite again. And I know I'm playing right into the hands of the Brady people.
Brady and Julian Edelman. You're gonna get destroyed. No. The problem is.
We just watched them lose to Nick Foles last year.
Yeah, I know. That was last year. Right now, their defense right now is playing better than it was last year.
Who's the best quarterback that Brady's beat in the Super Bowl?
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm taking Kurt Warner out of the equation because they mauled their receivers all game and didn't call legal contact for
Warner has one of the highest postseason like QB passing ratings. Him and Drew Brees are up there. The problem, New England's defense is playing very good right now. The running game is the same as it was last year. Like, just replace Deion Lewis's production with Sony Michel's, and Tom Brady has to have kind of a bad game, like we saw him do this season, and now they're saying, oh, he was playing through an MCL sprain, so that's why he looked shitty for a while. But the Chiefs can beat the Patriots if their defense plays like it did last week.
They'll beat anybody if their defense played like it did last week.
If their pass rush works. Between D Ford and Houston and it's Chris Jones, right? Yeah. I always can never remember his name because it's so like plain.
Basic.
Jones.
Yeah, simple.
And Eric Berry was a full participant in practice this week, so maybe that helps. But I still like the reason I feel like the Patriots will win this weekend is because I'm not sold the Chiefs' defense is as good as it's been playing, whereas I think the Patriots' defense is that good.
Interesting. No, and I think that the Patriots, and this is, you know, not going out of a limb, but I think they'll be able to take advantage of a Chiefs' defense that has a lot of weaknesses much better than the Colts were able to do. Other than that, though, I'm taking the Chiefs, and that's pretty much purely because it's in Arrowhead. And, you know, I was thinking about this too, but it's kind of a sliding doors moment where I took so much joy in that Dolphins game where they beat the Patriots on the last second lateral play. That might end up being my downfall as a person who's cursed the Kansas City Chiefs this season, because without that play, this game is being played in Foxborough as opposed to Arrowhead.
Wow.
Because the Patriots have the head-to-head.
From my joy. Yeah, I think, obviously, what's that?
No, I didn't say anything.
What would you laugh at?
I was laughing at my own misfortune.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think the difference is the Patriots are going to have to cover a lot longer than they did against Phillip Rivers. I mean, that's like Patrick Mahomes is a good quarterback on script, and he's just as good, if not a better quarterback off script. And I think if Kansas City has success, it's because like, they can do things on offense that you can't really plan for. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's how the Patriots are successful, is they have a plan. Their players execute that plan, because if they don't, they're executed. And it's just like the way it fucking is there. So I'm going to pick the Patriots, though.
Okay, so you have...
Because it's bad luck if I pick it.
You have a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I like that matchup. I have a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. That would also be a very good matchup, as we saw earlier. I don't think there's a bad matchup out of... I'm not a math guy, but I think there's... I'm going to go with four different possibilities here.
And Marcus Peters playing against his old team in the Super Bowl. Another fun storyline.
Yep. No, there's storylines, I think, either way. So, the obviously, you could have Saints, Chiefs. Which I think that's just a good football game. I don't know if there's any big storylines, obvious storylines to be had. You could have Rams, Patriots, which would be a rematch of 2001. And that would kind of be actually, now that I think about it, that would be terrible if that was the last Brady Super Bowl that he won. And then people would be talking about circularity and all those things. But if they lost, which I think they would, then that would be kind of nice. And you have, let's see. Nope, there's two others, but, you know, can't think about at the moment. My brain's not working.
Saints-Patriots?
Yeah, Saints-Patriots. That's a great game with two Rams, old quarterbacks. Saints. Oh, yeah, 81 combined years of age.
No, between not Rams, Saints. That's
Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, the super old dudes. Super old dudes.
Yes.
Well?
Yeah, I like all of these.
Anyway, it should be good football. Last weekend was good football. This weekend will be good football. And then we have the Super Bowl.
Was it really good football last weekend? I don't know if it was.
I thought so.
Yeah, to be fair. I should say...
The Patriots-Chargers game was not good football.
No, I wouldn't argue that the Colts-Chiefs game was good football either.
The Chiefs played good
football. The Chiefs did play good football.
Two games were good, two games were bad.
I have no idea if the Rams-Cowboys game was good, because it was good to me because I recorded it and watched it in about 90 minutes.
That was a good game.
A test. That's a better way to watch football if you can.
And the Saints game was good. Saints-Eagles was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good game.
All right.
Let's hope we get two good ones this weekend.
We will. Probably. Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, you made it through a podcast with two co-hosts that co-hosted the shit out of it. And thank you for joining us. Bye.
Adios.